You guys moving or staying? You're moving. There you go. Should say a word of thanks to organist, pianist, musicians, and choir for leading us so well in our praise this evening. Until about 4 months ago, I was minister in two congregations in South Down. And one of the benefits of ministering very far from home is that you can tell stories about your family. And nobody knows your family. And it's great. It's a little more difficult now I'm in Portland known to do that. And I don't know if you know me. I don't know if you knew my late father. Someone in my congregation worked with my dad. But my late father was an interesting character, with the emphasis on the word character. And some would say the apple hasn't fallen far from the tree. I don't know. And there were a few conversations of my father's which weren't punctuated with some kind of proverb, some kind of short, pithy saying that expressed some kind of truth. And one of his favorites was this. My father used to say, if you have a reputation for rising early, you can lie all day. And that's probably true. Because reputations are strange things, aren't they? People sometimes have a reputation they don't deserve. Sometimes it's a good reputation they don't deserve. Sometimes it's a bad reputation they don't deserve. Well, when most people read the account of Mary and Martha, Mary emerges as the disciple with a good reputation, while Martha's reputation is somehow less good. And many see Mary as the superior disciple and Martha as somehow or other the inferior disciple. So tonight I thought we'd have a look at the two players in this drama. What can we say about Martha? What can we say about Martha? Well, regardless of whatever we may think about Martha, it's clear that she loves the Lord. And she does what she does out of love for the Lord. She loves Jesus so much that without any kind of hesitation whatsoever, she prepares a meal in his honor. Now, friends, don't miss this. Martha was doing something good. And it's important that we don't get the message of this story wrong. She was doing something good. And remember, this happened when it was increasingly unpopular to be associated with Jesus. You see, the tide of public opinion was beginning to turn against Jesus. The heady days of feeding the 5,000 were in the past, and Jesus was beginning to say things that people didn't like to hear. He was becoming more unpopular. But Martha didn't care. Look what she did. She opened her home to Jesus. She showed her love for Jesus by her actions. I'm sure you know that hospitality and the preparation of food was of huge significance in first century Jewish culture. So it wasn't wrong for Martha to be doing practical things for Jesus. She was doing a good thing. But the question is this: has Martha replaced the best with the good? And I think that is absolutely key to understanding what is going on here. Because, friends, we can do good things and still miss the best. And Martha was a woman who missed the best. Look at what we're told about her. We're told that she was distracted. Now, that's an interesting word to use. Seems to me that to be distracted means to be sidetracked from something we want to do or something we know we should do. And actually, when you read the text, there's no suggestion here that Martha wanted to be in the kitchen. Yes, she chose to be in the kitchen, but perhaps it was a reluctant choice. What you see, what she was doing was this. She was conforming to what the culture of her day expected of her. And then add to that the fact that believers differ in personality and they differ in gifting. Martha seems to be a hands-on, big-hearted, hospitable, generous, hard-working woman. She's the kind of woman that made a great farmer's wife in a huckle. But this was her problem. She was distracted. J.C. Ryle has a wonderful quote. Let me read it to you. It's on the screen. The two sisters of, that should be whom I guess we read in this passage, were faithful disciples. Both had believed. Both had been converted. Both loved Jesus, and Jesus loved both of them. Yet they were very different women. Martha was active and impulsive. Mary was quiet, still, and contemplative. This is a great line, isn't it? Grace reigned in both hearts, but each showed the effect of grace at different times and in different ways. They were two different women. You know, if you were on a sinking ship with Mary, Mary would say, okay, let's pray. If you're on a sinking ship with Martha, Martha would say, I'll go and look for the lifeboat. There's no doubt that Martha was a disciple, but she was a distracted disciple. Distracted probably by her personality type, but distracted certainly by her circumstances. She was so wrapped up in the details of entertaining that she had no time to spend with her guest and no time to enjoy her guest. Amanda and I have a circle of close friends, and for many, many years, perhaps 25 years now, the same small group of friends have got together every New Year's Eve. And in the early days, we had a huge four-course meal. And after a few years, it went down to a three-course meal. And then a two-course meal. And it was our turn last year. No, we did. We had a carry-out. Now, why did we do that? We did that because whoever was hosting us was spending so much time in the kitchen that they couldn't enjoy the company of their friends. And friends, here's Martha. And Martha has Jesus in her living room. She has the Savior of the world in her living room. She has God incarnate in her living room. She has Lord God Almighty in her living room. And where's Martha? She's in the kitchen. And the good you see was keeping her from the best. And Jesus rebukes her. But friends, see how he does it. He's gentle, he's kind, and he doesn't rubbish what she is doing. He sees the value of what she is doing. But he's saying, Martha, you know, you are so busy serving me that you have no time to listen to me. You have no time to talk to me. You have no time to spend with me. He said, Martha, I know your motives are good, but you're distracted and your busyness has pushed me to the edge of your life. And you know what, Martha? I want to be at the very heart and center of your life. And that's far more important than preparing a fancy meal in my honor. Martha was a distracted disciple. What of Mary? What can we say about her? Where's Mary? Well, Mary is at the feet of Jesus. Now, how did she come to be there? Well, she chose to be there. She chose to sit at the feet of Jesus. You see, she didn't know when or if she would see Jesus again. She didn't know if she would hear Jesus speak to her ever again. And she wanted to spend time with him while she could. She knew there would always be meals to prepare, but she might never have another time to be with Jesus. And that's why she was willing to leave some things undone, some important things undone, to be with Jesus. She chose the important over the urgent. And friends, can I tell you, the urgent isn't always the important. The urgent isn't always the important. Mary chose the better over the good. And that's why Jesus commended her. Look just at what she's doing. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his word. She was sitting. Now that speaks of quietness and stillness. She was at the feet of Jesus. That's closeness and intimacy with Jesus. She was listening to Jesus. She was paying attention. She was taking his words seriously. That is submission. Yes, doing is a good thing. But too much doing, even Christian doing, friends, can damage your spiritual growth. You know, I think it's interesting, really interesting, and I'm sure no accident, that this encounter with Mary and Martha happens when? Well, it happens right after Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. Because the Good Samaritan is about doing, isn't it? It's about doing. It's about doing good. And this encounter with Mary and Martha is about doing, but doing the best. About listening to God's word, about talking to God. God wants us to serve others, yes, but he says, be careful. Don't be distracted from my word. So what are the lessons for disciples of Jesus today? Well, I think the main one is this. it's possible for a good thing to become the enemy of the best thing. Friends, there will always be plenty of good to do. There will always be meetings to attend, visits to make, and it doesn't matter how much good we do, more can always be done. But friends, good work can become a distraction if we are not centered on Christ. And you see, knowing Christ intimately must come before serving Christ, because if it doesn't, our service will be barren and frustrating. And friends, no amount of service for Christ can substitute for the value of spending time with Christ. Of course, we must serve, but we must listen. Jesus said that Mary had chosen what is better. Mary, you see, recognized the importance of listening to Jesus, and so must we. So let's recognize the priority of hearing God's word taught and explained. That's a positive, if you like. What about the negative? Well, then let's stop doing things which distract us from hearing the word of God. I don't know what any of the churches in Hochul are like, but I guess they're like most churches. And in every church, there are people who are doing, and they are really, really, really busy. But I wonder if they're always listening to God. Because if they're not, that's a problem. And in every church, there are folk for whom it's all listening and no doing. And that's a problem. Many churches are like a football match. There's a small team on the pitch and they're playing their hearts out and they're exhausted and they're tired and there are lots of spectators on the sidelines and they're pointing to the feelings of those people on the pitch, but they never put a pair of boots on and get out there. But the issue being addressed here is one of busyness. God says, don't get distracted even with good things. Mary made a choice to listen to Jesus, but her choice to listen meant she had to say no to other things, other good things. I wonder, is there anything in your life, and my life for that matter, I apply this to myself, is there anything in our lives pulling us away from the Bible, from God's word? It could be work, could be family, could be sport, could even be your service for God. All good things. But we can be so busy that we neglect our relationship with God. So let's stop doing anything which is pulling us away from listening to the word of God and talking to God. And that's what Jesus means when he talks about the one thing necessary. What one thing is necessary? Fellowship with Christ. Jesus is saying to Martha, Martha, the most important thing in this world is fellowship with me. Everything else pales in comparison. Everything else passes away. Your wealth, your job, your family, your business, the organizations in which you invest your life will be gone one day. But fellowship with Jesus by faith in response to the offer of the gospel will never end. It is the one necessary thing. Friends, this account is about the danger of being distracted, not by bad things, but by good things. And surely the one thing we need most is to sit at the feet of Jesus, but it will not happen by chance. It will only happen by choice. So how do we start? This is not rocket science. You set aside time every day for the Lord. You make worship a non-negotiable part of your life. You expose yourself to God's word. You build quiet into your life. You make time to enjoy God's company. Friends, it's so easy, isn't it, for any of us to get out of balance. Martha was a good woman. She was a faithful woman. She was a generous, big-hearted woman. She was a practical woman, but she lost sight. She lost her focus of what was most important, and she alerts us to that same danger in our lives. So see yourself in the story and heed the warning, because there are consequences of not spending time with God. You know, the first and most obvious is a breakdown of our relationship with God. Of course, another consequence is a breakdown of our relationship with other people, especially believers. We see that in Martha. Look what she says about her sister. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work? Tell her to help me. She neglected God's word, listening to Jesus, and self-centeredness crept in. And she begins to lash out, even at her own sister. You know, Christians are people who are saved by grace, but they're not perfect people, and it's easy for us to hurt other believers. And that's why we need God's word to remind us how we should live. I think I'm right in saying when John Wesley left home, his mother wrote these words in his Bible. Sin will keep you from this book, but this book will keep you from sin. There's a very encouraging end to this story. You know, so often we read of encounters between Jesus and people in the gospel, and we're left wondering, what happened to those people? Well, that's not the case with Martha. Martha listened to Jesus. She heeded his warning. She adjusted her life based on what he said, and she grew in grace. Now, how do we know that? How do we know that? Well, we meet Mary and Martha again when their brother dies and Jesus comes to their home, and we read Martha's wonderful confession of faith, almost word for word, the same confession of faith as the Apostle Peter. You see, she understood, she listened, she pursued the best. And here's the thing, folks. As a result of her listening, in the time of crisis, she had a faith that was strong. And when her life was falling apart, that time she invested with Jesus paid off. Her closeness to Jesus made all the difference. And folks, you know what? When you face a crisis in your life, and if you haven't faced one yet, you will face one. And when that happens, your closeness to Jesus or your distance from Jesus will make all the difference. Let me close with a quote from a well-known pastor who said this. Often in my pastoral ministry, I've asked people with serious problems, tell me about your devotional life. The usual response has been an embarrassed look, a bowed head, and the quiet confession, I stopped reading my Bible and praying a long time ago. And this was his response. And they wondered why they had problems. Folks, don't allow a good thing to become the enemy of the best thing. Don't settle for what is good when you can have the best. I wonder, do you see yourself in this story, in this account? I wonder who you are. Are you Mary? Are you Martha? Are you a distracted disciple? Are you sitting at the feet of Jesus every day? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the help we find in your word. We thank you for the encouragement we find in your word. We even thank you, Lord, for the challenge we find in your word. And Lord, we ask you that you will make us a people who are in the word. And Lord, may the word be in us. And all for the glory of Jesus. Amen.